There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
6 games on tap tonight. Week 3 of the preseason kicks off. We call it the dress rehearsal. And earlier we hit on matchups involving 3 NFC East teams. But there is a battle, a quarterback battle, in the Sunshine State. And really, if you think about it, it's the one true quarterback competition in the league right now in Miami. And tonight could go a long way in deciding which way this shakes out. You've got Ryan Fitzpatrick and Josh Rosen both expected to play tonight in the all-Florida matchup against the Jags. We'll talk about Jacksonville and their new quarterback, of course, who departed Philly and landed in Jacksonville. But look, if I said this, the best way for this to play out, and I'm talking about the Dolphins in terms of the quarterback situation, is what? I mean, how are they better off here?
I think for right now, based on the way it's gone, is for Ryan Fitzpatrick to be the starter. But what I would like to see is for either quarterback to actually complete a touchdown in the preseason, because neither of them have done that yet. And then also, even though Ryan Fitzpatrick reportedly has been the one that's in the lead, I would like to see him have a larger sample size of throws. So far, he's been 2 for 5 in the first game and 3 for 9 in the second game. So we want to see just a larger sample of him throwing the ball in a Miami Dolphins.
I mean, what would WWF
are we want to see?
That is
like
not the best way to get out of the preseason and skate, however.
Right.
But in terms of, Miami specifically, mm-hmm. I think, for the team, I think it's better for Fitzpatrick because he's the most tenured guy, right? He's the one that's been through the most, seen the most football, understands what it takes to win football games in the league. But longevity-wise, you want to see what you got in Josh Rosen because you don't want to be back at that draft next year, like getting another quarterback or potentially drafting another quarterback with that first pick. So you need to figure out 2 things. One is Fitzpatrick your guy for this year? And then long term, is Josh Rosen the guy you want to hang your hat on and for the long term of this team and building it around Josh Rosen? They got some questions that they need to ask themselves.
Yeah, the problem with evaluating Josh is because of how inept the rest of the roster is, it's so hard.
Don't sit the fence.
To apply the proper context to when you're evaluating them. Meaning, I mean, they're just so devoid of talent that no matter where you look and no matter what happens with him, you're just not going to give him a fair shake just because the team needs so much work.
But he's not the only quarterback to ever go through that.
Yeah, you're
right. He's going to have to.
Right.
I can list a long list of names of quarterbacks who've had to endure that.
That's not what I mean. I'm just saying that you're still not. I just don't know if you're going to give him a fair evaluation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, quite honestly, if you just kind of rewind back in the offseason, I don't really necessarily believe that they believe that their quarterback of the future is on this roster anyway. So when you have that in the back of your mind, it's kind of like, I mean, how true is really your evaluation? How honest is this process as far as trying to determine if we have the quarterback of the future when you kind of already have hinted around the fact, that being ownership, that we don't?
Well, I can definitely tell you that because I talked to a Dolphin source a couple of days ago, and he said, first of all, he said, I think a lot of people forget that Josh Rosen is 22, and we did come into this process thinking that we would take our time to evaluate it. So the fact that he's not ahead of Ryan Fitzpatrick is nothing that's taking us out of sorts or what have you. We wanted it to play out and let it be what it's going to be.
Yeah, I think they know that what it's going to be is it's going to be a long season. And I think for Josh Rosen, what it's going to be is, why does this keep happening to me? Mm-hmm. That I'm now in 2 situations.
Because he's 22 years.
I agree with you. He's landed in 2 very difficult spots. But I will say what Josina said is fair. Look, and I'm not being funny. There's no crying in football, right? Like he's been dealt a tough hand 2 places, Lewis. But he can't hang his hat on that, or the competition's over before it starts.
He has
got to put that in the garage and shut the door.
Easier said than done.
I can name three
Jets quarterbacks right now who probably feel the same way, just on one team.
And those are the realities of pro football. We just talked about it with Jarrett Stidham, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jarrett Stidham, you've sent him down there to Miami. What do you think is happening?
Mm-hmm. Right, but he landed
going,
in a great spot.
That's just what we saw at Auburn.
Exactly.
He's no good. Mm-hmm. And you go up there to New England, people are going, all of a sudden, you have scouts sitting there going, well, I did say I liked them a little.
Like,
exactly.
That's not exactly what I
mean. Whiteboard again?
This week is likely the last time you will see any starting quarterbacks before the regular season, certainly the ones who were solidified. So far, over a third of the league's projected starting QBs have yet to play. Tonight's really probably the only time you'll see them. That includes Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, Carson Wentz. We're not even sure if Aaron Rodgers will play tonight north of the border, but Nick Foles is expected to play. Look, Nick Foles, we'll see, if he can replicate what he did in Philly, if he can bring some of that magic. But who are these Jags? What is the current iteration of the 2019 Jacksonville Jaguars, Lewis?
I think a lot of it will have to do with whether or not they can recreate the kind of turnovers, and as a football team, have the kind of same turnover differential that they had when they were just a couple of plays away from the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. I think the defense is going to drive it. I think Nick is kind of going to be the caretaker of it, meaning this. Don't make it more difficult for us to play to our strengths. Make the plays when they're there to be made. No one is mistaking Nick Foles for Patrick Mahomes. He's not that kind of guy. He's kind of like a caretaker who's very smart, very judicious, keeps you out of bad situations, let the playmakers, he's the dealer, right? But the defense really is what's going to drive the bus here. And if they can recapture that, what they had 2 years ago, then they're on the right track.
But can I say this? For me, the defense had that chemistry and had all that synergy going because Blake Bortles was playing at a higher level. And mm-hmm. so I think back to what one of the defenders that told me last year why they felt like the play was disintegrating, which was because they weren't getting that play from the quarterback mm-hmm. and it was having a domino effect on the rest of the unit. So I think it does kind of start with Nick Foles so that they can feel like they're not back on the field immediately. And then, you know, the body language of the team, the emotion of the team is coming down, and then it's having a collective effect.
It'll definitely be complimentary.
Well, in football, you want to have a complimentary approach. Obviously, mm-hmm. offense, defense, they both help each other out in the three phases, special teams as well. But that defense is definitely the anchor to that team
and making
it go.
And there's no doubt that they've upgraded, okay?
Exactly.
I mean,
100%.
Nick and Blake Bortles ain't being compared to them.
Yes, hold on to that football.
He'll be all right.
Listen, press coverage now from Ed Werder, who is embedded, if you will, with the Dallas Cowboys and their main issue. One of their issues continues to be the absence of Ezekiel Elliott, who is not with the team. Here's what Ed says. The most recent offer in negotiations between holdout Ezekiel Elliott and the Cowboys came from the team. Elliott has been offered a contract, making him one of the NFL's two highest paid running backs. That would suggest the team is offering him more than Le'Veon Bell and less than Todd Gurley. If that's the case, and that is extremely connected there, then the ball now in their court, they will have to respond and decide.
Well, there was a report last week or the week before from Clarence Hill that said that the money was right around Le'Veon Bell money. Okay, so Le'Veon Bell is at 13.1, Todd Gurley is at 14.37. So we know that the money is around Le'Veon Bell. The question is, how much more above Le'Veon Bell and how much closer to Todd Gurley is it? And really, that doesn't make a difference when Ezekiel Elliott is trying to be the highest paid running back, period. So that would have you above 14.3 and even better for him, closer to 15. So that really is the issue, because that's what he feels like he deserves based on production. We can have the conversation all day long whether he's earned that based off headlines off the field or what have you. Yes, people keep talking about he's asking for this contract 2 years out, but keep reminding people that the Cowboys did contract with Smith and Frederick when they were 2 years out as first rounders as well. But the comparison being that those guys didn't have the headlines that Ezekiel had, and how much does Jerry Jones want to affect from a macro perspective the running back market when they're trying to recede it back to what it was 2 years ago?
When you hear those numbers, it doesn't seem like this would not get done. You know, I mean, it doesn't seem like this would drag out much longer. But but there's a lot that goes with
sure.
that, sort of mm-hmm. the ego and the benchmarks and all of that.
I would assume that the Cowboys are going to be very interested in protecting themselves against Ezekiel making bad decisions and about him doing something that would make them look foolish. So now you're talking about, from his perspective, I'm sure Ezekiel's perspective, is how much is this money is guaranteed when I put pen to paper?
Mm-hmm.
How much of it is conditional?
Mm-hmm.
Meaning conditional for in terms of my behavior, conditional in terms of my injury history, or rather injury itself.
Mm-hmm.
Because that can change the whole landscape here. I mean, we can sit here and we can talk about the average per year all we want, 13-1, 13-2. But what players are concerned, and I'm not taking sorry. That wasn't what I mean.
Ezekiel's calling
but
on your phone.
But I think what all of us is, you know, if we were negotiating a contract and we were the ones sitting here trying to get paid, which is how much of my money am I getting as soon as I sign
right
this
now,
thing? And how much of it is contingent upon if I stay healthy or if I don't make some foolish decision out there? I want to know how much of this money is mine now.
Right, and it's not just how much is guaranteed at signing, because I give you another layer to this. When I was talking to somebody, it really don't even matter if he gets if it's a 4 year or a 5 year, because based on the age that Ezekiel Elliott's now, he's going to be close to 30, which one or the other, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So it's not even just how much is guaranteed at signing, it's how much of that money is front loaded and not back loaded he's going to be older because
this
of the position
this is
that
the one.
He plays.
Sure.
This is
why I was saying the other day that this isn't a joke for him. This is the time where he is going to make the amount of money to change his life potentially forever, and he's taking it serious, and he wants it to be something that you know, he listens to and understands fully how much am I getting, how much is the first three-year money, how much is guaranteed. He's taking all of that serious. So when Jerry Jones makes that sly little joke, which he's earned the right to do, Ezekiel didn't find that.
But I think, you know what, and believe me, I'm not trying to talk pro-management here, mm-hmm. all right, because mm-hmm. I've been on both sides of this thing now. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to say this from his perspective, from Jerry's perspective. If you just look at this top down, look, they have been very much so committed to Ezekiel Elliott.
Yep.
Oh, no
There
no,
were some
they
teams
have.
Now. There were Absolutely. Teams. There was a lot of questions surrounding Ezekiel when he came out of college. Mm-hmm. There were some questions. Look, he was good, no doubt. But there were people who were worried about the decisions he was going to make, whether or not he was going to be a good teammate, whether he was going to throw coaches under the bus, all that stuff. And, you know, look, in Dallas, it's hard for you to get on Jerry's bad side. Mm-hmm. He has had plenty of players in his history where he has stood behind, where many
Ooh,
of other teams
would guy.
Have shifted them out the door.
100%.
So what I'm saying is at this point, if I'm Ezekiel, the contract negotiation tact that I'm taking is, Jerry, say whatever you want out there in the public. Just know that when we're talking behind closed doors, I know what you've done for me. You know what I've done for you. Let's just make sure we keep it business then. You can make all the show you want for the cameras and say Ezekiel who and all that other stuff. That's fine. I would just, if I were him, I would play this about as straight and narrow as possible, yep. knowing that the Cowboys have stood behind me when, especially at this position too, mm-hmm. you know.
Well, Zeke is not the one that said anything. The
no, comment, I know, right, I know. Right, I'm saying the comment of mm-hmm. we felt disrespected. We
right, didn't but, that but his agent right, did say right. that Zeke shared that sentiment. I don't
right.
know if he
so
still
what I'm
got
saying
it
is,
her,
I would just want it to be like this. Zip. Let's just talk money. Just
well, and how straight laced can you be with?
Especially right now where they
Well, you can be straight laced, but the point is that he's still not there. So you can be straight-laced, but you're still not there. And that really brings it back to the whole conversation of what is the order of how these contracts get done. Because Dak, he's a quarterback. He hasn't had any headlines. But remember, getting Zeke's contract done means that Zeke is in practice.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fair. Let me ask you this real quick before we go, JoJo. I think it was a week ago or 10 days ago. You said that everybody you talked to there literally showed, you know, there was no signs of panic. There wasn't a lot of cause for concern at that juncture.
Good question.
Still,
I'm about to
still
ask
feel
you.
The same today?
That's a really good question. I knew what you're about to ask. I would say that what I've heard is that Ezekiel would like to be out there with his teammates. And it's natural for anybody that they would want to get out there. You're starting to see the timeline tick. He was just recently in town. I think he came in Thursday, left Saturday. I believe I'm hearing that he's supposed to be back in town this week for Dak's charity thing. So we'll see how that plays out with regards to the contract situation or not. But you're starting to hear a little bit more. I think the best way to put it is a little bit more anxiety.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that would make sense to me. But you never know. But just because, again, after tonight, we'll be moving to the final week of the preseason.
Clock's ticking.
Clock is ticking. Well, look at that. Lewis Riddick has Aww. Crisscrossed the land.
Oh, my God.
Checked in on training camps from one coast
look
to another.
He looks like the love connector.
No, listen, he
like Chuck Woolery over here.
You probably heard him talk about Patrick Mahomes. Who else? Jared Goff got your attention some time ago.
Hey, man, so, you know, I'm just trying to be positive, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to be positive.
That's right. No negative out here. Only Lewis Riddick.
It's only preseason.
Negative.
We got to follow along. He was tweeting along the way. Here we go. Derek Carr about to have the best season of his career. Ooh. Why you say that?
Because when you listen to Derek Carr talk about how comfortable he is in this offense, he has said, I'm playing in an offense and being allowed to do exactly what I had always dreamed of doing. Having all the tools, all the control at the line of scrimmage to get us in and out of plays, put us in the best possible situations, and I'm seeing it so much faster now. He's super, super confident. Him and John Gruden are on the same page. And if they can just get AB out there on the field, I'm going to tell you this for about the 100th time. Do not sleep on the Raiders.
So better
just
than
don't.
The year they were 12-4 and went to the...
When he was like almost MVP?
Yes.
Absolutely. I think, you know what? He's actually statistically put up comparable or better years than even that year. But I'm saying he is dialed in right now.
How much of his success is predicated on AB being successful and them being getting on the same?
I think that is a fair question.
I think, Victor, it's the difference between him being a top 12 quarterback and maybe him even being a top 5, top 10 quarterback. Because AB changed, I mean, you know, he 100%. Changes everything.
100%.
Well, I tell you what, it's important for Derek Carr because they may be on the same page right now, and that's great, and I hope they stay that way. But they're in the evaluation process with Derek Carr.
Sure.
Best season statistically or by postseason measure?
Well, this past year, he completed almost 68%. I think his passer rating was comparable to 2015. It was just that but I'm saying, but but see, overall, the rest of the team wasn't very good.
Mm-hmm.
He.
agree that he's the first linebacker the Steelers have ever drafted in the top 10. And exactly. I think that would, all of those things
and
you just mentioned had
to
be in place
yeah.
For that to be the case.
Yeah.
So, all right, thank you, Lewis.
Thank you.
Glad to have you.
All right.
All right, Ed Werder had this coming via press coverage earlier. He is...
We don't know what's going on.
It's a very nondescript organization right now.
Nebulous.
You know? Nebulous.
I like that word.
That's a good one.
I know, right?
Okay.
Nebulous. All right.
Nebulous.
All right. Stay tuned. We'll see.
Yep. Stunned us with that one.
2 weeks after they were unable to reach a deal with the team, Michael Crabtree is a Cardinal agreeing to a one-year contract. Should be interesting matchup with the Rams and Aqib Talib. Who could forget the chain brawl, if you will, between these two in 2017. So Crabtree will be an additional option for Kyler Murray in the Cardinals offense. By the way, Murray looking forward to the regular season and opening up this offense.
Package mysterious, so we make sure we don't show the rest of the NFL what's going on. We need to see that you just do something successful.
But it's kind of like that because did exactly what you want to see out of this guy. Drops.
It's nothing like what he played in Baylor or at Auburn, and he's picking it.
If you missed it earlier, among our developing stories this afternoon, to recover from injury, but has been participating in practice. The 50th season of Monday Night Football kicks off on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and the ESPN app. Our annual Week 1 doubleheader, CC Network. and some fantastic players.
Mac Brown, we're counting on you.